Hello, nerds! Welcome to the Superhero Hour Hour. It's the podcast where we talk about every live-action TV series that is based on a comic book. With me, as always, is Ryan.
What up, what up? Ryan in the house!
Pew, 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 pew! Are those your sound effects you're doing now?
Yeah.
I like them.
I have a button here, and I hit them with a button. Those came out. Those were professionally made. And
what other buttons you got over there?
Oh, I've got seven different lasers, basically.
Oh, let me hear all seven lasers.
Okay. I mean, if I remember how these buttons work.
Yeah.
Pew, 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 pew. That's a little Beethoven for you.
Oh. Yeah.
And I mean the dog. That is first song that Beethoven the dog ever wrote.
Yeah.
He works primarily in lasers.
Yeah.
Because he's more of a future artist.
He does the score for a lot of the shows we watch, I'm pretty sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, or at least his cousin Bear does.
Right. That's Beethoven.
Yeah, Beethoven. The other person with me, who has not spoken very politely, is Mike.
I don't speak until I'm introduced.
That's not true.
And we forgot to introduce him last week.
Yeah,
hence
I was
not
here
speaking
the whole time. But I was like, I signed that contract. I live and die by that contract.
I was very impressed. You just sat over in the corner with my good friend Cleobold Fitzpatrick III.
Is your least favorite type of mic the one that talks? It's only with contract talk, but it drives me crazy. Stop doing that.
What? Take a look at my girlfriend. That's what you just.
She's the only one I got.
Are these your buttons? So I got lasers and you got all of those sound effects?
I have like some samples.
That is awesome.
He's got like the entire, what's that board called that like DJs use? And like, kill me, kill me.
That's just a DJ crying out for help. Yeah. Nobody should be bored by
that's
that.
That's how they have to talk now.
I don't know why that was my go-to sound effect that a DJ would have.
Kill me. It's. I think it.
Kill me.
Well, you watched We Are Your Friends.
I've never watched We Are Your Friends, but I've listened to 47 episodes of The Worst Idea of All Time, where they did
that season
it.
Three.
Oh, that's the movie they picked.
Yeah, it's the movie they picked, and it's not good.
I think I only know that because of you. I feel like you talk about this a lot.
Do I?
This is your the OC.
Because I don't bring it up every single week on air and then think of clever ways to slip it in without you two noticing.
Thank you for bringing that up.
In a clever way.
It's been a while, but this week I watched random episode of season 2 of The OC.
No way.
And it was the follow-up to Chrismica, and Seth is freaking out because he doesn't have anybody to bring because Summer is fully with Zach.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the winter ball dance, mm-hmm. and they all have to go, but for some reason the parents are there, and Jimmy mm-hmm. and Julie Cooper kiss.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And Marissa is fully DJ shows up, even though they got in a fight. DJ's the gardener she got with.
Oh, I know.
Of course, you know.
Yeah.
It just reminded me what a good fucking show it is.
Oh my God, shut up. Are you done? Are you done now?
I'll always remember DJ because Marissa screams when they're breaking up. She says, You have to stop calling me DJ, and I always think that he's about to say, "Why would I call you DJ? That's my name." But he never says it. Every time I watch the episode, he never says it.
What? I think the show is more nuanced than people give it credit to because Julie Jesus Cooper Christ. Is in like three of the Jesus. Five plots in this episode,
uh-huh.
and I never remember her carrying it. But she really becomes a protagonist earlier in the show than you think she would.
Yeah, and it's why we say that's Julie Cooper theory with any redeemable mm-hmm. villain, because I just finished the latest season of Orange is the New Black. I know that you guys, nobody watches it anymore, but there's that one hillbilly character played by the girl from Hustle and Flow, Pennsylvania, who is now like one of the main protagonists.
Really?
Who, in the first or second season, attempted to kill who we thought our protagonist was.
Mm-hmm.
That is a Julie Cooper that may be bigger than Julie Cooper.
Yeah, Pennsylvania was one of the few backstories we got that didn't make her look better. It just went like, oh, that lines up with all the garbage
right,
I assumed about her.
And this has been
Julie Cooper Theory Hour.
This has been the OC Hour.
Well, maybe it's out of our system.
Spin-off?
Of course we should start that spinoff.
That's this show.
And by the way, getting back to that other podcast, what was it called? The Worst Idea Ever?
Yeah.
We have seen every single episode of Powerless and Talk About It, Gotham and Talk About It, Walking Dead and Talk About It. How did they not steal our idea?
Yeah, we have a worser idea.
Yes. This is the worst idea of all time.
That's fair.
Being friends with you fucks.
Yeah. Who said we were friends?
Fuckity fucks.
We're going to be talking about both episodes of Fear the Walking Dead that came out this week. But before we do that, we have to get to the super serious shushy bullpen.
You are now listening to the Shushies, something that, Mike, you did not participate last weekend.
No.
And also nobody heard. And so I do have to apologize for that right up front. I have to apologize for Taylor, something, some button you hit. What'd you hit?
I hit delete.
Okay, so you hit that delete button.
Yeah.
But okay. Only because producer Dave was screaming at you, hit delete. That's the one that records.
Well, he was calling me a dilettante. But I didn't know what that meant, so I just looked at the closest key on the keyboard, and I was like, this?
I'm so sick of fucking producer Dave's five-syllable SAT words.
Also,
dilettante.
Also, dilettante is three words. Tante.
It's three words?
Three words. It's dill,
like the pickle.
Tante.
It's when you make fun of a pickle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just so everybody knows, everybody's caught up, we did Best Sidekick last week, and Robbie from My Zombie did not win. Cassidy from Preacher did not win. It was goddamn Waverly Earp.
Whoa.
I'm on board.
I wish I could have heard that conversation.
Shut up, Mike. Or tell Taylor to shut up.
Shut up, Taylor.
Thank you.
Okay.
So this one you're going to hear. You're hearing it right now.
We'll see.
That's proof that you're hearing it.
That's true.
How could they not be hearing it if they're hearing it?
Whoa.
Shit, that's a tautology right there.
All right. Settle down with your producer Dave style insults.
Yeah, don't hang out with fucking PD and bring that shit into the room.
Listen, that's a four-syllable word.
Well, according to Mike, it's a 9, so your syllable math is poor.
Does mic time also transition into mic syllables?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have a new award this week. It is Best Ensemble. We have acting awards coming. Okay, those are for the single solo acting role. I think people can figure out what this means.
Right.
This is the group that works the best together. Not necessarily the group of the best actors. For instance, Legion is not nominated tonight. It's not the group of the best performances. It's which team comes together and wins. This is not the Chicago Bulls. This is remember that Detroit Piston team that won?
Of course we do.
In like 2001, even though they had like no stars?
No.
This is group chemistry.
Group chemistry.
So you have to figure out, is like the lead's charisma or lack of charisma good enough to bump it up or weigh it down?
So can you win this award with having a weak lead?
If everybody else is... I'm trying to think of a show that won't be on here that has like a weak lead, but everybody else. Let's say that Vanessa Hudgens was surrounded by the cast of Parks and Rec and that was powerless.
That could win.
Yeah. That could win.
Okay. So let's just say that if that thing existed, it could win.
What are you saying about Vanessa Hudgens right now?
That compared to the cast of Parks and Rec, she would be a weak lead.
Okay, that's fair.
Also, he's not talking about the powerless. Like, I think he said Vanessa Hudgens.
No, he said Vanessa Hudgens.
That's a different actress altogether.
She's up and coming.
That's a different actress. All right. So just so everybody knows, we're going to enter the four nominees into a bracket, a two-round bracket. The third round, the first round, was already fought. Here are the people that won or lost. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., gone.
Good.
Arrow, gone.
What?
Yeah.
Legion, gone. And here's the one that I was most surprised by, or the one that pissed me off the most. Lucifer, gone. Guys, really? What the fuck are we doing here?
We're getting rid of Lucifer.
Good ass chemistry.
All Lucifer has is ensemble chemistry.
You don't have a lot.
Yeah, fuck him.
All right.
Wow.
Okay.
Taylor's ready to burn it all to the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I know why. I know what you're gunning for.
But you four shows could have made the top four. Potentially. Four shows could have made the top four, and Lucifer is not one of them.
No.
All right. Are you guys ready for round one, battle one?
Yes.
All right. Round one, and Taylor, I'm going to you first.
Cool.
iZombie versus Preacher.
Ooh. I'm going to go... Now, who are we talking about? This is season one, Preacher.
Yeah, well, now and then plus four episodes.
Okay. So who are we considering the ensemble? Is it just the main three?
And Eugene, but he doesn't really interact with them.
Especially this season, he's not involved at all.
So yeah, we're looking at Car Ride, first scene of second season, Come On Eileen, sort of, that magic.
I'm still going with iZombie. The whole crew is coming together. They still have their own stuff, but they're all on board. They're fixing zombie problems. I think it's iZombie all the way.
I think if it was any other season of iZombie, I would fully support the thing you just said.
Oh, but now you're iZombie like elitism.
It was fun. It was a fun. Now who can't fucking talk? It was a fun season. It was fine versus other shows, but for iZombie, the part of what broke down in this season is a lack of ensemble chemistry because they were all off on their side missions, which is fine, but it's not a true ensemble. We didn't get to see Major and Liv and Peyton and Ravi and Clyde all kind of hang out.
You mean like when they played an entire episode of Dungeons and Dragons together?
One of a whole season.
How many games of Dungeons and Dragons do you want in a season? Don't you think one is enough?
Well, yeah. In my life, I want one every goddamn day.
Listen, so, they had that. They had the moments where they came together. Like, Major almost completely lost his memory on this season. Like, they are all coming together in different... They didn't necessarily all have to come together at once, but they have such a wide roster. Plus, they were constantly in groups of three or four.
We got that new Major girlfriend, and because of that sex tent, sex fort, they came together at a nonstop rate.
And that's a true relationship that you can constantly come together to plan it that well.
That's all you need for a relationship, right?
But I think the preacher benefit is it's only three. It's tight. Because the mission they're on, they have to be together. And there's these three big personalities smashing off of each other, mostly loving but still antagonistic. And I think iZombie lost a lot of the antagonism.
I do agree with you that these three are good together. But especially if we're talking about in season one, they're not even all together in a group until halfway through season one.
All right. I'm going to weigh in real quick, if I may. The problem with your argument, Mike, and I get that this was a lesser season of iZombie, but the problem is this was the season that Clive elevated to elitism status, and now they're all on the same great level.
Right. This season did give us some good Clive one-liners reacting to things.
Yeah, because now he's in the loop, and please put everybody in the loop, because secrets are dumb between friends, and the D&D thing, that is where Clive came to fucking shine.
That whole episode was a good Clive.
So, I'm going to move on, iZombie.
All right.
I'm going to move on it like a bitch.
Suck it. Oh.
Quote a different...
President?
Yeah. I can't say that word when talking about him. I won't.
I'm not a crook.
There you go. I'm
moving on.
What a weird thing for him to say.
Tear down that wall.
Round two. Riverdale versus Wynonna Earp.
Oh, shit. Fuck. God damn it. Listen, this is rigged against me. I call rigged. Get Russia on the line.
You're
need to ask Putin
Dale.
About some... No.
Just so everybody knows, it's alphabetical order. It went IPRW. That's how the first this round went.
Okay. Again, if we're talking about chemistry... Nobody, we watch, what, in a year, 19 shows now? Because fuck us, right? Nobody has better group chemistry than goddamn Wynonna Earp.
Nobody.
Nobody.
You're picking a winner right now?
You're
picking a Wynonna?
Oh, I forgot that we have to fight again. But yes, I'm planting the flag right now.
Wow.
Riverdale, was so charming and pulpy and dumb and big and great. But I don't know if it's going to go down in the history because of its chemistry.
I disagree.
Betty and Veronica? Tons.
Exactly.
Kevin and anybody he's with? Tons. But I think Jughead and Archie are kind of big chemistry sucks.
They're chemistry vacuums.
And they are a big part of the show.
I don't agree with that all the time on Jughead's part. Jughead and Betty, honestly...
Earned it for me eventually.
It did.
I didn't buy it at first, and then by the end, I got it.
I also kind of like Jughead and Veronica... Just because
kind of clashy,
yeah, because they're not in the same sphere, but they both get along and they both care about the same people, so they put it aside. I like their chemistry.
And
Archie
is a vacuum. Let us not forget Cheryl, who
of course
had so much chemistry. It didn't matter who the other person was in the scene. Like she could save Archie. She could save anyone.
Yeah, Cheryl is a bright and shining star that should never be put under a bushel.
Okay, but when we're...
Stop quoting presidents.
When we're deciding who moves on, is it how high the highs are or how many lows there are? Because Riverdale has a ton of highs, also has those lows. Wynonna and Waverly is TV all-time, guys. We're talking Sam and Diane, greatest in history.
I'm going to give credit where it's due. This is maybe the hardest matchup you could ever give to me. I love Wynonna, the entire cast chemistry. I just think Riverdale's is better.
And you're bunk. And it like, so.
No, I'm more of a McNulty.
Half of the season one had like Rocky because they didn't know what it was yet. Or we didn't know what it was yet. But it locked in halfway through last season. And then since then has been just firing and just smashing different characters together. And every time it's great. And even adding new Jeremy in, like he is a different kind of energy and it works. Smashing the sheriff are hot. everybody fucking clicks into the right hole they need to click in on that show.
Like that. Dolls was probably the weak link, and now that he is back on the show, fully powered up, fully mysteries around him,
mm-hmm.
He's now, that actor's now having fun. He started off as like, I'm an action hero.
Right.
And now he's got stuff to do.
He was John from Supergirl. He was John from Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
He was The New Adventures of Old Christine. He was John.
All of our favorite shows.
He was John Jones from season one of Supergirl until he became the Martian Manhunter.
And now he's John Jones from New Frontier.
Yes. Oh, man. R.I.P. Darwin Cook. We miss you still.
You guys make me feel young in a bad way.
Do you know what The New Frontier is?
No.
It's such a good...
Is that Star Trek?
No, it's a silver. It's a new take on like Silver Age comics. Darwin Cook was a great illustrator. Do you want to know about The New Adventures of Old Christine or John from Cincinnati?
Nah, I want to know whatever you guys are moving on.
Old Adventures of New Christine? No, New Adventures of Old Christine was a Darwin Cook scripted version of Elaine from Seinfeld. That was actually very good.
Yeah, all right.
And pitch him John from Cincinnati.
John from Cincinnati is about this Reds fan. Lives in Ohio.
Okay.
Named John.
Best friends with Darwin Cook.
On HBO. And cooks a lot. And believes in Darwinism.
Made by the guy who made Luck?
Oh, the guy who made The Wire? No, mm-hmm. Wait. Who did the Luck guy
Andrew
make?
Luck.
Andrew Luck.
Okay.
So, I assume Wynonna Earp is moving on.
I am surprised. I didn't have, like, a clear, like, favorite in this race. But if we just think about it for a second, doesn't Wynonna move on?
Wynonna moves on, and I'm going to plant my flag on Riverdale because I love that show.
Right.
But Wynonna, it's a thing that if anything is going to beat Riverdale, I want it to be Wynonna Earp.
Imagine a world where there's two ladies who are fighting supernatural beings, and they are surrounded by the roughest, toughest, cutest, Buddhist group of friends around them.
I'm already hard.
It is Liv's friends versus Wynonna's friends, guys. Oh. For the shushy.
I thought you were pitching a different thing. Sorry.
Who was taking it down?
Wynonna.
We're in full agreement now. Let's shake hands like friends do.
Okay.
I
cross my fingers.
iZombie is, I think, for years been my favorite show that we watch here. And not just, I had somebody try to argue. They're like, but I mean, you like that show because of the garbage you watch, right? And I was like, no. It's one of my favorite shows that's on television right now, regardless of superhero shit.
Because we would do the end of the year brackets for like mm-hmm. TV drama. And so there were 16 shows entered. And it didn't come close to winning, but it was always put in the bracket. Right. It was one of the 16 best dramas on TV.
It's a great show. I love it. I love them. I think it was a lesser season for ensemble chemistry, regardless of the D&D greatness and little moments. But I think as a whole, it shambled. And Wynonna Earp is fucking knows exactly what it should be. And it's Joss Whedon plus. It's just quips for days. And everybody has their own specific kind of... It's not... You couldn't give a Wynonna Earp to Doc Holliday and have it sound the same. Like, everybody has their own style.
Yeah. Wynonna Earp is... It's a fun show. And every character in this ensemble is now having fun. We don't have any vacuums. We don't have anyone who has to be like the serious one. They're all doing whatever they think is fun and it works and it makes me happy.
Yeah, no, even though they're heroes, they're all still kind of drunk pieces of shit fighting evil. So they're still going to like make sex jokes in the middle of fighting demons.
It's like watching the crew from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia be more clever, but then also be campier and have a bunch of pistols and be hanging around with an old cowboy and kill demons.
I would also watch that show.
You are watching it, and I think it's about to take home two shushies in a row. Can we now stop fucking fighting it being in the top tier? Every week, I try to get it in the top tier with Legion and Iron Fist or whatever the shows are that we love, and you guys always fight me. Is this proof now? Two shushies in a row, and one of them isn't dopey a show that smells most like poop. Can we put this in the top tier?
We'll remove that.
It belongs in the top along with the Legion.
All right, you lower down. I'll keep talking. We'll take that award off of it. We'll strike it from its record. But now everyone in our Earth poster has to have the little feathers or leaves.
Yeah.
And it says two shushy award winner.
Two shushies so far.
So far.
This is a 6-month award show. It's going to take some more.
And it's weird for a poster to have that much words on the bottom of it. But people will read it because when you're on a subway, you're fucking bored. And eventually your phone dies.
Man, why are billboards a thing that's very dangerous? Mm-hmm. You can't read a lot when you're driving. Oh, I guess because of traffic. Always advertise on the subway. You're sitting there with nothing to do.
More advertisements should be on the subway.
Do you think that Subway advertises on Subway?
and just giggle the whole time.
Oh, they think it's so fucking funny.
It's confusing when you're like on the red line and Subway has a yellow arrow pointing the opposite way of your red train is going. So I think they got sued.
Do you think Quiznos advertises in the green room of like quiz shows and says quiz yes?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think
I know for a fact.
Do you think Togo's advertises in restaurants with to go booths?
Yeah, and that gets confusing because you're like, I want it to go. And they're like, well, do you want Togo's?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I guess, is that how you guys say it? Here's that like a fun thing quick. Islands does. I just wanted your fucking papaya burger.
Do you know how many of these restaurants are national? Because I have no idea.
All of them?
Okay, good.
We're a globalist nation, right? We're all globalist cucks. So everybody knows all these sandwiches.
And if it's not near you, come to fucking Burbank and go to one.
Look, I've had to watch goddamn Hardee's commercials my entire
life.
So they can fucking sit through a Togo's ad.
Call your fucking travel agent. You get to Burbank and you eat some Togo's.
Also, I'm so sick of the Carl's Jr. versus Hardee's conversation. Carl's Jr. is better, even though they're the same restaurant.
I agree. And that is not our bias of where we grew up. It's mm-mm. Just a fucking fact.
Hardee's, it's like poor design, I guess, poor products, and it's red burrito. What the fuck is red burrito? Green burrito for life.
Wait, they have a red burrito?
Yeah, it's Hardee's red burrito.
Wow. All right, let's get Taylor out of this. Congratulations to Wynonna Earp winning Best Ensemble. Congratulations to Doc, Dolls, Waverly, the new kid. Does anybody remember his name yet?
Jeremy.
Jeremy. I will remember scientist. That next week. And of course, Wynonna winning Best Ensemble, and then last week, Best Sidekick. When we come back, Fear the Walking Dead.
This week on Fear the Walking Dead, we got a double header. The first head being the skull of Walker's father, and the second head being old Jeremiah's. Also, there were two episodes this week. The folks from the ranch try to negotiate a truce with Walker's people, which goes pretty well until Madison continues to fuck up everything by trying to rescue her hostage daughter, which leads to Ophelia, who is back, to poison the soldiers' coffee with anthrax. But it's kind of okay because turns out the ranch people are definitely racist and also murderers, even before the world went to shit. After learning the history of the ranch, Madison and Nick decide the only way to a truce is to kill Jeremiah and deliver his head to their enemy, which is pretty badass. Gentlemen, I ask you this. Does this upset at the ranch make you more interested in the dynamic here, or are you ready to leave the ranch for greener pastures?
I'm trying to think back as like how many episodes I was stoked about the ranch. Like, let's get some dynamics. Let's get some politics. Let's stay here for a bit. It was zero for you. Now I want to bail, but not because I think that's what's best for the story. Like, that's what's most organic. But just because this sucks, and let's see what sucks less.
Yeah. My favorite part of this double episode was I kind of enjoyed the... Hey, I dumped a bunch of anthrax in your coffee because mm-hmm. I kind of got excited that we were just going to kill everyone and have to leave like a Walking Dead prison situation.
Right.
But it didn't happen. And the only other part that I liked was Strand talking to the astronaut on a radio.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I don't care about the ranch at all. I just want more of Strand talking on the radio to people.
A thing you've never... You're pretty anti-Strand.
I haven't enjoyed any of the episodes I've watched with him up to this point, but this one I was like, this is a good moment.
You're just so into radio dramas.
So it's hard to know if you are anti-Strand or anti-poor storytelling and lack of focus.
Yeah. I also am not sure if I just reacted positively to that moment because that was one of my favorite short stories in the book World War Z, was a character just talking on the radio to someone. So I was like... I like that. I like people talking on radios.
The more they can just read better zombie material and sort of rip it off, probably the better this show will be.
Or like Contact as well.
Or what was that movie with Dennis Quaid?
Frequency.
Frequency.
With Keanu.
I didn't think
he was talking to his son.
No, Keanu was talked to Sandra Bullock through a
That's
mailbox.
The lake house. Yes. Keanu's just not in all of those movies.
Frequency was what's the guy's name? It was Jesus, and he was in Billy Crudup. Was that his son?
No, Jim Caviezel.
Jim Caviezel, there we go.
And what was the show that I want to say was on CW that had a woman talking to her dead father through a CB radio, like through time?
Frequency.
Was that also Frequency?
Yeah,
Frequency,
they made a show. It got canceled.
Was it based on the same thing?
It was based on the movie, yeah.
Or there was Early
Edition.
I didn't
ever watch the show or actually read anything about it.
Early Edition, a cat would bring the future day's newspaper to a dude. So
Coach Taylor.
To Coach Taylor?
To Coach Taylor.
Really?
Yeah.
What, from the Friday Night Lights?
From the Friday Night Lights.
Weird. My favorite part of this episode, two episodes.
Of Early Edition or Fear the Walking Dead?
My favorite
part
of Early Edition is best black cat performance if you ignore Salem from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Or the black cat from That Darn Cat.
I've never seen that. Christina Ricci?
I love how you guys can say if you ignore. Like, we could just ignore Salem from Sabrina the Teenage... Like, oh, what, just live in that, like, pretend like that mm-hmm. never happened? That's insane.
In a vacuum. I think that means magic spell. You get to do whatever you want after that. Is, I thought... So the last season ended with Ophelia getting a gun shoved in her face by Charlie Utter from Deadwood. Mm-hmm. And then this season started with Madison and Nick ending up with Charlie Utter's ranch. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Otto?
Yes.
Otto's Charlie Utter.
Jeremiah Otto.
And then they never fucking talked about Ophelia again. And I thought that was just poor writing. I didn't realize they had a plan. And then they brought her up. And I still think maybe they fucked up. But I was like, oh, that was more interesting than you guys just completely forgetting about a character for a long time.
I actually will say that a moment I enjoyed, which I realized later that I shouldn't have, was I first watched the second of these episodes first, because I forgot that there were two episodes. So the opening of the second episode is Ophelia, a character I've never met, mm-hmm. Going through hardships, being discriminated against, and then living a life and being okay with things, and then immediately getting attacked by, up to this point, our protagonist. And I was like, oh, that's a really good moment. Like, our people aren't that good. And then I found out that this is a character we're supposed to know, and she had also just poisoned a bunch of people with anthrax. And
do you remember Daniel from a few episodes ago?
No.
The guy rolling with Strand? Oh, you've bailed out for a couple of months, right?
I sincerely... Oh, no. The guy who... He had that one episode on his own? Yeah.
That's her dad.
Oh!
They all met together before the zombie outbreak. But it was interesting, but also there's the scene with Otto and Ophelia, and I didn't get... I got his motivation because he's like, just don't tell anybody that we met before. And he's like, say that's fair. And he was very whiny because he kept saying, say it's fair. And why would she go along with it? Why wouldn't she be like, this racist motherfucker said I was brown so I couldn't be on the farm?
But he desperately wants her not to bring it up because it's proof that he's racist?
Yes.
Don't we have that? Like, doesn't... Would anybody be surprised?
Because he killed Indians? It's proof that he's racist and...
is willing to leave people out in the desert to die just because of...
Why would she go along with it?
I don't
just
know,
to get
because
out of
the
there
show's
as
not
possible.
Good.
Oh, I get that. I've agreed to things old men say just so I can fucking walk out
right,
of the room.
Right, so this conversation can end.
That's true.
Taylor, I want to get back real quick to one of the big words in your paragraph, which is racist.
Yeah.
Are we... We talked about this a little bit last week, Mike. I don't know if you remember, about how much this show is borderline conservative values. Mm-hmm. And I started to wonder if... It is just straight up the first show that we have ever seen for this podcast that is conservative. Or is it saying that conservative values are only good in a post-apocalyptic world, otherwise there's no time for them? Because Madison went in three episodes from going, Otto, you're a racist, to, yep, I'm racist now. I get it. I'm down.
And her talk with Alicia, it doesn't matter if we're right. This is the decision we made, so we have to go. Unless she dies this season, and it's actually, the story has been how Alicia grows up.
Right. I was thinking that.
Fuck this show, because Madison's arc isn't even, like, the thing the father show has tried to do is show, like, the dark sides of a protagonist in Rick and, like, the hard choices you have to make. Madison is so worse than Rick ever has been because her decisions don't make sense and she's dumb and doesn't... She just drives full force and is truly... She would vote for Trump because she's like, you got to make a decision no matter what. You just got... This is where we are right now, so we're doing it. Unless she dies, this show is fucking... It's even worse than it already is.
I have truly never once liked Madison. Mm-hmm. And I say that hesitantly because I, the entire day, was trying to remember this character's name. And I was like, Marsha?
It's not Travis.
Melissa? Travis? I remember Travis. At this point, I remember Alicia and Nick because they're characters that I care about. I do not care about her. She's the worst.
The way that I always remember is that like her main character thing is that she protects her kids, but she's always upset at Nick. So mad at son. Is how you can remember that. I think that's how she got her name.
How did you guys feel about the reveal that she killed her dad? Were you like, oh, that explains her character? Or were you like, fuck you, Fear the Walking Dead?
The second one, lot.
It seemed all based on they have seen good TV before. They know how good TV works, they think.
It's not like you couldn't do the memento thing and flash back to the last season and a half and be like, there's all these times that made sense. It's just, that's stupid.
I was wondering... I was actually about to ask you guys about that because not having seen previous seasons, I wondered, is this like a big reveal that they've been building up to, or is this just they thought this would be fun to have as a character? And it seems like it's the second one.
Yeah.
And it seemed like that in the episode, and that made me like it less.
There's two things that drove me crazy. And Madison, for you, Taylor, has been the shining point for in the past. Like, the only reason to come back is to see Madison arc.
Ugh.
The two insane things are, one, if the story was she watched her mom kill her dad to protect Madison, now I get why she is her character. She stops at nothing to, just like her mom did.
Right.
That makes sense to me. As opposed to Madison just is badass in every situation, even if she's eight. And the other thing is the line, we don't get to pick our people. I don't understand what that means.
Well, it also seems like she definitely decided she could pick her people because she decided, one, that she didn't want around anymore in her dad.
Yeah.
She's like, this is family, and like, fuck him.
And that we don't get to pick her people, but is definitely picking Otto and his farm.
Like, there's an obvious answer here, and she is, like, they even struck a truce, and she is fucking it up because she's like, no, I'm just choosing this.
Then the only thing she can be saying is, I didn't pick being white. You didn't pick being Native American. Mm-hmm. We don't get to be together then. Like, she is now the racist. Otherwise, I don't understand what that line means.
She's fully saying things Otto has said. Just, like, being more of a coward about it. She still can't fully say the things he said yet.
This all could be interesting if there was backup for it. If we were led to this, like, how a story works. This is batshit to me right now.
And why the kids are more interesting is because Alicia has gone from a pretty timid, whiny character to being an actual badass, not just somebody who kills things, but she makes hard decisions for the greater good. And Nick
with
has
like
gone,
a good moral compass.
Right. And Nick has gone from a selfish guy to this weird survivalist to now kind of a mommy's boy, to the point where the two episodes end with him killing Jeremiah instead of Madison. So are the kids kind of shifting their alliances? And is that interesting? Or is Nick still plotting? Because Luciana is gone, and Troy and his family try to kill him and Luciana. Is he still, like, is he playing a very, very long game? Or are these writers dumb? I threw that away.
I think that Nick killing Jeremiah was an obvious play. Like, you knew that Otto and Madison were going to have their staring contest until something else happened, mm-hmm. and then Nick came in. But I actually do like how it backs up. Nick is seemingly okay with his mom backing up Troy, but isn't. Like, and it's not for the same reason of Alicia, of like, that's fucking wrong. It's that, but I used to be your son, but I'm too cool to admit that, but I used to be your son. And so now he's trying to get back into her good graces. In conclusion, like, yes, Nick and Alicia, Nick barely and Alicia somehow more, is all we have left.
They're interesting, and I want to watch them. I want the adults to just leave. And if it's about the kids, this is a show I might watch. Fear the Walking Dead is on AMC.
One more.
Yes.
It's on AMC, definitely.
It is on AMC.
The Stand By Me cover that ended,
yes.
And it was like, it wasn't metal. What would we call it?
It was like
cheese dick, like
cheese dick stained?
Early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like new metal and new umlaut metal?
I did not understand why they chose that, but I was kind of okay with it. It, like, fits the tone of the show.
It fits this stupid-ass show.
Yeah. Garby? That's short for garbage. You have to... There's so many end-of-the-season montages. Is it Wire that started this?
Mm-hmm.
Or end-of-the-mid-season montages? So many of them are covers because that makes people feel comfortable. You've taken a song that we know and put it in a tone that fits your show.
The OC did a Hallelujah one once that worked very well.
Oh, God, I do remember that, and I love it. Hallelujah to the OC is what I would say. This was so... Maybe I'm just turned off to the show. Like, the whole 2 hours led up to me being like this, but it seemed so ham-fisted.
Maybe
so
I liked
dumb.
It because I watched it at the end of the first hour.
You weren't already burnt out.
Fear the Walking Dead is on AMC on Sunday nights. After this, we'll get to the back issues. Well, we will talk about the rest of the shows. This week in the back pages.
No, it's issues.
Back issues?
It's back issues, yeah.
Right before the break, you said back issues, and I was polite and didn't make a stank about it.
I know. Listen, I'm...
Is the floor...
Can we call it the back pishues?
The P issues. The big P issues.
Back pishues?
This is how you guys solve problems. Like, yeah. Let's make nobody happy and do dumb shit.
Let's compromise.
Let's lean across the aisle. and shake hands, and we're going to pass bills and sometimes laws.
Can I filibuster?
No, there's no filibustering allowed here.
You chose the nuclear option, no filibuster.
No filibuster, but you are allowed to filibuster.
Just so you know...
Hey, Buster. I'm going to fill you up.
Buster.
Hey.
Just, you know, when you reach across the aisle, it will seem like I'm about to shake your hand, and then I will pull it back at the last second, pretend to fix my hair, and then dab 40 or 50 times.
And I don't want to, but I will run around the room going, oh!
That's crazy, because when I go for people's handshake, you're going to pretend to pull away, but then I'm going to do like the little fake out punch. And you're like, I'm just kidding. You're all right.
You old so-and-so? Will you call me you old so-and-so?
Listen, if you're good.
What's your best you old so-and-so voice?
Ah, oh, come on, you old so-and-so. Look at this guy. Who let this guy in here? I'm just kidding. You're all right.
There he is.
This guy. He's a real handful. Oh, is he treating you all right? I'm just kidding with you.
Lock up your daughters because he's going to rape them. Something like that, yeah.
The old ball and chain, that's how you lock him down.
So anyway, this is the part of the show where we talk about all the shows we watched. You old so-and-sos. And we try and rank them. We rank them from the best of the best to the least of the best. This week, the least of the best. Guys, every week we try really hard
to get it in last place.
To get our main show in last place. And this week, because we had two of them, we double won because both episodes of Fear the Walking Dead are equally in last place.
We nailed it.
Crushed it. In third place, which is bronze, in my opinion, or second to last, depending on if you're a glass half full or glass half not full person, is Dark Matter.
You say all of the things in all the best ways.
Oh. This week on Dark Matter, the Bazazaraza are back and impersonating our crew as Portia and Boone rescue a prison ship of fours, only to jettison all the prisoners after they help take out the guards. This is all to steal missiles from Truffaut, which gets her pissed at the real Raza, who quickly pieced together who must be behind it all. They finally make Adrian useful to lure the Bazazaraza in, but he shocks no one at how bad he is at that. There are numerous double and triple schemes, but the Bazazaraza never took Five into account. Gentlemen, I ask you this. A. Does Five's goodbye with Adrian strike you as being ham-fisted? And B. How old is he if we're supposed to be okay with the flirt vibes between an adult and a teenager?
I think what they're trying to make you wrestle with is the fact that Five isn't a kid anymore.
But she's... she was like 15 when the show started, maybe 16. So yeah. She's at oldest 17.
I know it's confusing. You think she's a kid because she's got poorly dyed blue hair in places,
A kid would.
It's gross to look at, but
hurtful.
But yeah, I think that like this is part of her growing up. It's not like Adrian looks old. Like clearly,
I'd say mid 20s.
By the way, we're just not using numbers anymore. Is this because of the doppelganger thing? Are we going to go back to numbers next week?
Well, yeah, Portia and Boone. And when I say Portia and Boone, I mean Evil 2 and Evil 3.
Okay.
Portia de Rossi and the guy from Bones?
Cougar.
Mellencamp?
Cougar Mellencamp.
So 3 looks old.
3 looks old.
3 looks significantly older than 5. That doesn't mean that 5 isn't now down to bang.
I'm fine with bang. Like, no. Your body, your choice. Do what you want to do, girl. But... She is still underage, and he is still an adult, and a skeezy one. I'm just worried about our little Five, and maybe that's what the show's trying to teach.
Yeah, I don't know if you're making judgment on the age relations in the Dark Matter universe, mm-hmm. or if you're just going up against Adrian and saying he's just too skeezy.
He's not
for
good
Five.
Enough. Yeah. Maybe it's that one.
How close to being real weird is it if I play devil's advocate and ask what's the age of consent in space future?
Future space.
Yeah,
5 or 6.
It's a gross... I don't know if you've been watching it, but corporations own everything and everybody's okay with it, which means it's probably 5 or 6.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm just wondering, because maybe they're justifying it by in this universe. It's not weird because she's technically an adult. And also, she's like fighting for her life. If you can fight in wars, you can bound.
The cool thing about corporate-run society, and I would have no idea what that was like, how would I know, is that if you try to go against whatever the corporations want, they will just scream... We hate regulations, and then they just get what they want. So fair. If they want 5 or 6, it's 5 or 6.
So either...
And by 5 or 6, I mean
Jubilee or Wolverine.
Old, not...
Okay.
Regulations.
The young girl and the bald guy who's on a different ship now.
Oh, yeah. Have we seen him again?
No, that's the big...
Yeah, he's gone.
The big cliffhanger on this is they're like, hey, we know you miss him and couldn't call him, so we're just going to go pop in, which seems easier than they made it to seem in other episodes.
What a good cliffhanger. Let's drop in on our friend real quick.
But then they zoom in and go, we can't reach the space station. Go to Google Earth. Those are bodies.
All right.
So the whole space station was wiped out.
Including
so,
six?
They don't know.
We don't know.
That's a cliffhanger. The bodies hit the floor, but we didn't see what made them hit the floor. Probably a wrestling match.
Are you pissed off or are you glad that they didn't play that song when the bodies had clearly hit the floor?
I'm very glad. Look, I'm not ready for Kid Rock to be a senator, so I'm not ready for us to talk about fucking drowning pool again.
I'm going to take the opposite stance. I am ready for Kid Rock to be a senator. Let him run. Let him do some legislation. I think he's the real maverick that we need to shake up big Washington.
Do you think if Kid Rock runs, then like the singer of Cold will run, and then the singer of Drowning Pool and POD, will all those, that era of shit bands...
Do you guys know the other celebrity who put like a little group together so he can run is besides Kid Rock?
Jesse Ventura?
No.
Not from years ago?
What?
The Rock?
The Rock. So
yeah. Are we going to get a Kid Rock The Rock battle?
I mean, like, is Rocky Balboa and Alcatraz also going to join in this race?
I honestly just want them to be on the same ticket so we get Rock the Vote 2020.
Or then they can bring back Rock the Vote.
Oh, shit!
And Chris Rock already won the presidency in head of state, so we know it's possible.
Was he the first black president, or was it the guy from Deep Impact?
I don't remember when head of state came out. Deep Impact definitely came out pre-Obama.
Yes, definitely. I think it was Deep Impact, head of state, 24, Barack Obama.
Yeah, I approve of that timeline.
Mike,
do you have a moment of the week?
Oh, I had so much. I think it has to be Android versus Porsche. The fight that they had was awesome. And it shows. So if the last scene was all about Five growing up, and we have to be okay with that. This was Android is a fully autonomous, equal member of the crew, because she, in very Android, Porsche walked on and she went, "You're wearing different clothes." And Porsche thought she could trick her into thinking she was two. And Android was having none of it and beat the shit out of her.
Treat her like she was a number two.
And it was a dope fight.
Ryan, your moment of the week?
Mike, I mean, your moment of the week was fine, but like always, your opinions are stupid bullshit. It was Android versus Android. That conversation of like, we cool, why? That was, we don't get a lot. I don't think that we're revolutionizing robot characters on this show, but it's always like B++ enough for me to like it all the time. And to have two androids like having that style argument, it's all her. It's all the actress.
She's great.
Killing it.
Are you trying to lie to me? No. Are you trying to lie to me? No. And it like...
Well, I had to ask.
In all of that, it was so much them rolling their eyes at their human crews. They both are so sick of their human crews and went, if we could just deal with each other all of the time, it'd be great.
Dark Matter is on the Sci-Fi Channel on a night.
Friday.
Your number two show of the week is Preacher.
In this week's episode of Preacher, we get something of a table-setting episode. As Jesse can't be worried about Tulip unless he gets proof that she's in trouble, and Kat can't not come to her rescue if she is. Other than that, we have to wait until the very end of the episode to get more narrative momentum. As it turns out, Tulip actually couldn't have married Jesse, as she was already married to the New Orleans Big Bad. Gentlemen, I ask you this. Thanks to the pace of the first three episodes, and thanks to still getting some of the typical laughs and lashings of the old ultraviolence, this time set to Uptown Girl, are you more accepting of table-setting episodes of Preacher than you would be with other shows?
Yes. I am fine with this table-setting episode. I don't want another one in the next episode. I'm ready for it to move on from this, but this was a good, let's catch our breath. We're in New Orleans. We're finding new bits of the mystery, but we're not pushing headlong like we have been the last few episodes. It felt good. It felt like it fleshed stuff out.
I don't mind slowing down normally, often. There's very quiet, dumb, atmospheric shows I can enjoy. But this...
Top of the Lake?
I loved Top of the Lake. Thank you.
You love your Top of the Lake.
Broadchurch.
Uh-huh.
Anything where a kid is missing her dad, I'm on board.
That's
but
fair.
This... It was, there was moments of this episode that were fine, but it's definitely the weakest by a long margin of this season that we've seen.
And you're saying that just because it's a table-setting episode, that's not why you're saying this. It had other weaknesses.
I think table-setting's fine if you can still do it strongly, and there were strong moments in this. I think Jesse and Cassidy trying to find the actor who played God, who got peed on by Frankie Muniz, that was a great thread, and Tulip had fucking awesome moments in this, but it didn't gel. It didn't feel like an episode. It just felt like a bunch of kind of like, these things are happening. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I'm still going back to my question. If So far, if you just look at this season and don't look at the first one, because even though this was a lesser episode, I think this season is continuing to make the first season look like dog shit. If we go by this ratio of three ballers and then one burner, isn't that?
Oh yeah, that's a great ratio. Most TV can't do that. The last one I could think of is, I don't know. It was on, I believe, Fox. Seth Cohen. He hung out with Ryan Atwood. Ballers.
Was it?
Welcome to the.
It was, I think it was like The Rock and Rob Corddry.
Ballers.
That was also.
It was Ballers.
It was called Ballers. Yeah, that's ballers. What it is. Yeah.
A show nobody has ever watched. But
at least never talked about.
I've seen an episode.
You're the only person in the world, other than Rob Corddry and The Rock.
Yeah.
It's still hitting more than most shows, but it was significantly because so many things got revealed last episode. So we got all that sweet Eugene and Hell stuff. We got the white suits, and that the jazz girl was one of the white suits. And all we saw of them this time was now he's throwing a sign watching them, so they have eyes all over New Orleans.
I think the two biggest questions is, as an audience member, could you have used a break? Because sometimes they don't do that right. And I think that I could have used a break. And two, do you have like a ton of hopes for the next three episodes based on all the things that went down? It wasn't a ton, but did they plant enough seeds where like, that was good, next three episodes gonna be crazy?
I think so. I think we're definitely gonna see more of these like white clothed people. I think they're going to be more important. I think I don't know if the finding out who God, the actor, was is going to be as important. I feel like that actually took up a lot of time that sort of led to a dead end. But it gave us the scene about the HBO negotiation, so I'm okay with it. I don't think that I necessarily was ready for a break. I think I could have gone an episode or two more and gotten it. But I'm hoping that because they're giving us this break, it means they're going to deliver very hard the next few episodes and give us maybe one more break rather than this is just how the show's going to be.
How many episodes is this season? Do we know?
And 10 is my guess.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess if every three episodes we get a kind of a breather because the characters fucking would need it, that's fine. There are great moments.
That's something that the hit show OC did. That's
what it was.
The OC.
You guys can both go fuck yourselves.
We do have to, before we bounce, go over the, I guess, C plot line. If we've got Tulip and then Jesse and Cassidy.
Hell,
guys.
That was, how did we feel about, Hitler being a sympathetic character in this show, and B, Eugene's turn at the end?
Fascinated with both of it. There's so many ways to make Hitler boring.
I really want to know, like, this episode made me want to see the rest of Hitler's
hell.
Yeah, Hitler's hell. Because he seems like a sad person.
Is this show building up that Hitler wasn't Hitler? That, like, other people were behind him and he was just trying to, like, he was just a befuddled man trying to please other people?
Well, I came up with a theory and I did not rewatch to back this up. So I'm going to throw it down here and then let's just assume it's true and move on with the rest of our lives. That the voice of the person who was auditioning God was the same person that told Hitler that he should be meaner at when he was like when they were having their lunch.
His like love interest?
Yeah.
His flirt?
That it's the same person who's like controlling all these things. And you would think that somebody from hell would come in and say, like, Hitler, let's kill some people, dude. Forget that angel on your shoulder. But what if there's this one person behind the scenes, like in the literal way, but also the like movie style way of like, I have to manipulate all this stuff, and she helped Hitler and helped God become, or the actor become God.
That would be very interesting. I kind of hope that that's where it goes. I do think that they're leading up to some sort of Hitler in this universe was manipulated in some way, or Hitler became Hitler but experienced something and is no longer the Hitler that we know.
Well, he's been in hell for, what, 80 years or whatever?
Yeah.
But it's also, I think, looking at Hitler as a human being is difficult.
Yeah, we can't have Hitler do all the stuff he had because he liked a girl. That storyline cannot happen.
That would be dumb. Absolutely not.
But we can have Hitler did all of the stuff because he was manipulated by somebody from heaven or hell. Mm-hmm.
Because do we know how long it's been since God went AWOL?
That's a good, I don't remember.
Because I don't think it's
probably a few months. I don't think it's that long.
I think
it's tied to Genesis getting into Jesse.
Well, no, because I always thought
he was like fucking him out. Like this is
I actually thought that it was when Genesis was created, and then Genesis has been in stasis for a long time, and now everything's gone out of control.
But God has been gone for ever.
But I guess now I'm trying to figure out when they hired God. Was that because people were catching on, or was that when God left?
I don't know. And I like it because it seems like hell isn't breaking apart because God left. It's just like they're not getting their checks anymore. Like when God was there, he would make sure hell got its money to function.
And it still barely functioned.
Yeah, but now it's just falling apart and they're like, we're so sorry. Like, let me just take care of this technical problem.
Listen, we've been trying to ask for the funding, but like there's a lame duck Congress in session and we just can't. Like we've been trying to push it through, but our lobbyists are AWOL and they just can't get it through.
Humanizing anybody, whether it's Hitler or the leader of hell, which is Josh Chan's mom, who's popping up in everything, is great because she's like, look, I'm sorry about this, that you can't be in your own private hell, but if you fuck me over right now, like I liked that balancing act of like apologetic bureaucrat and demon, because that's what she is.
Yeah.
Because if you want an innocuous role to be better than it should be, hire that actress who is Josh Chan's mom and the therapist from Unreal and pops up in fucking everything.
Oh, I'm sure her IMDb is like 200 things long.
All right. Mike, moment of the week.
Can I do a moment of the week for each of the big three? Because I have one. Because I refuse to give you.
Yeah.
It's Tulip's takedown of the first bodyguard.
Okay.
Because more proof that Tulip's a badass. Jesse's entrance because he's a reckless son of a bitch, and the Santa Killers is now coming his way, but his destroying the mansion.
And sorry, that was the first time where usually it's been like, should I use the... I'm going to use the word once. And that scene, it was like, word.
Oh, yeah, this is how important... Even though, like, the whole episode built up that, like, he's like, does he even care about Tulip? He fucking does care to a scary amount. And then Cassidy saying, oh, we're from Game of Thrones. Like, that whole bit with Gunk? Tunt? What was that guy's name?
I think it was Gunt.
Gunt.
His name was Gunt.
That and Cassidy just be like, no, this is why I matter to this team. This is my skill set. It was great.
Ryan, your moment of the week?
My moment of the week was not just Frankie Muniz or that that commercial in general, but Preacher always makes me wonder if they're pushing too far and if they're pushing in the right way. And this was, so last week we talked about the blonde girl who killed herself and like, is that Preacher being funny or this week it's, this was a commercial about homeless people, and it was supposed to be a parody, but it still was uncomfortable. Like, Frankie Muniz really was there and peeing on a homeless guy, and I know they're trying to say that, like, these companies that you send money to don't actually care, but we still have to sit there and watch them not care. It's great. It's good. It's just Preacher always puts me through things.
Mine's the Uptown Girl fight scene. Because that's great. And it's they gave us an opportunity to see Jesse abusing the word and then not being able to. And I just
headphones.
Yeah. And also because they just kept chopping a dude's arm off and then fighting with it.
All I've ever wanted is to watch an arm be used as a weapon, and it was good.
You know, it'd be great if the headphones blocked out Jesse, but then Jesse could talk to like machines or whatever. So he just kept saying, play Smash Mouth. And so that's what the guy had to listen to, eventually taking his headphones on.
Preacher is on AMC on Monday nights.
Yep.
Your number one show this week, and guys, it's been waiting. I don't know if it's happened yet because Preacher's been on, but it is Wynonna Earp. This week on Wynonna Earp, the demon is in Wynonna now, which makes her somehow even more Wynonnier. The gang discovers the old plate bears the sigil of a demon-fighting organization that runs the local fire department for some reason, which is a problem for Demon Wynonna and tips Doc off to her condition. While figuring out what to do with Demon Wynonna, blonde black badge lady decides she wants to be a demon too because she's real lonely and then scanners all over the place. And Waverly reabsorbs the demon to let Wynonna kill it with flask justice. But black badge is gone now? Gentlemen, I ask you, will this new crew hunting demons be a welcome addition, or will they fall by the wayside as an excuse to not deal with certain tasks for the main crew?
It was interesting that they didn't murder them all. They're going to stick around. That's why Wynonna Earp usually like takes care of their one-and-done villains right away. And it's cool that like they saw the Alliance as more important than just beating the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we all know that like if you wear Eyes Wide Shut like masks, you are bad and need to get got.
It's always going to be creepy.
Yeah, that means they're not thinking straight. Let's get the fuck away from them.
I think it reminded me very much of the initiative in season 4 of Buffy, where the military started, like, it's not like everybody can be like, there's no demons here. So the military was there and trying to fight it. It's that, but their tactics and what they care about aren't the same as our heroes, and they're going to be shady eventually. And we've already seen that, because they are burn all bridges, no prisoners, there's no coming back. And Winona is like, well, I mean, we can actually save some people. So I think it's interesting to have like a neutral, because they're not evil, but they just have different priorities.
No, that right. demon had to die for sure. Yeah, yeah. So they were doing the Lord's work or whatever. It's the blind faith. Like, when we have a group of main characters, we get to watch their motivations and watch why they're into what the main group is doing. When everybody just throws on a mask and says, I am part of this group. Mm-hmm. That fucking creeps me out.
But at the same time, I kind of saw where they were coming from in this episode. Is they're like, we don't have a connection to this girl mm-hmm. who is obviously possessed by a demon. This is the last one. We kill it. We're good. You've just showed up and were possessed by a demon. We know for a fact up to like 30 minutes ago and have just said, we can get it out of her. I promise. Like, they don't know any of the thing. They're like, we're not going to take right. chances. Like, we're just going to kill it.
Because it spreads. It's like yeah. a virus. And if you haven't met Winona, the whole town has the reputation of Winona Earp.
Exactly.
So she is yet to prove why you should listen to her. Which is what this demon Winona is basically just the version of Winona everybody assumes she is.
Yeah.
They don't see any of the good in her.
Oh, my God. So the reason why this won Best Ensemble is because they will do things like put a demon in Winona and then see now how the ensemble reacts. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll be able to mix it up like that. But this episode made me realize that the girl of my dreams is Winona with a demon in her. Holy shit.
She's nasty, like, and not like in a Hillary Clinton way or in like a sexy way. She's like, she's a mean girl.
And she will like put you in her place, and mm-hmm. it's not the most clever, but if she does it, she'll do it with that wink at the end. Goddamn, guys.
An evil cackle and like a giant like fur coat that is never covered, so you know she's cold.
I also
That's
like
your style.
I also like that she spent the entire episode with like one button on her shirt buttoned mm-hmm. and just walking around constantly like, this is who I am now, but also wearing a fur jacket.
And like anytime you can be fuck with one and done and do deeper character stuff, because that Doc Holliday wasn't like, oh yeah, we should go fuck. That he's like, I know Winona. And yeah. You ain't Winona.
She drinks a coffee black.
It was this demon was to the Winona Earp cast as Venom is to Marvel, mm-hmm. but they just did it over 4 episodes as opposed to 25 years of seeing different characters with the Venom right. symbiote. Yeah, it was so
now
good.
It's all Matt Gargan. Fucking who cares? We know what he does.
I really appreciated her coming on to Jock in the demon mode, because it was like she delivered the same lines she would usually, mm-hmm. but she put that extra little vocal flair, and I was like, today's Junk in the Trunk is especially delightful. Like, she just put a little bit more into it, and I liked it.
She had the awkward patter with Doc down.
Yeah.
Pat. And okay. also, like, knew how to, like, twist dolls, or thought she knew how to twist dolls a little.
Yeah.
But it's been crazy over, like, this season and a half of watching Doc go from Wolverine to Cyclops or even Professor X, of instead of saying guns blazing for everything, he's now the wise one. He's the one that says, I'm thinking right now and you're not Winona, I'm going to do something. Or, no, wait, let's not shoot each other. I have a plate. I'll give you this plate. Like, Doc is different mm-hmm. and wiser at this point.
Because he's not pissed off that he's been in a well, which I kind of forgot. I'm glad that he ran when yeah. Jeremy was like, you were there, right? And he's like, I was down a well. And Jeremy's, what did he say? He was just like, cool. Cool.
I would say at this point, I have no proof, but I think I can back this up, that Doc likes Winona more than Wyatt at this point.
Mm.
More faith.
Yes. Because fuck Wyatt.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner-looking motherfucker.
Ugh.
Can we give a shout-out to Michael from Roswell, who was the leader of the Fire Chiefs, and it's just nice to see that that guy's still working in genre television.
Yeah. I actually did like this idea that they're just a group of demon hunters who use axes to kill things, and they're like, what are we gonna, let's be the fire department. And so the whole fire department is like, if people come in, they're like, hey, I want to like fight fires, and like, how are you with demon hunting? And if they like don't pass the demon hunting exam, they don't get in.
They passed that wall of axes when they went, and like nobody blinked. This is a fucked up town. When I know that you're used to seeing demons, but can't somebody be like, that's like a halberd from medieval times?
I also really like that they were like, when Jeremy made the wow noise to scan the thing, they're like, oh, it's an ancient sigil. She's like, oh, like the one on the fire department? That weird sigil that our fire department has? Yeah, I've lived here a while.
And then a wink, and I couldn't get enough of it.
Tink. It was so good. Ryan, your moment of the week?
My moment of the week is the aforementioned explosion of and handling of that black badge lady's
Lucado.
Lucado?
I can never remember her name.
Because it's not a name. Nobody's ever been named Lucado.
You mean like Max Lucado, the Christian fiction writer?
That's not a person.
Stop making up writers.
Sorry.
I always like for Winona Earp, there's always this one moment that's like, let me see if you'd like this. I'll show you this 1 30-second thing. And her head blows up, and it is amazing. Like, it is everywhere. It makes Samuel Jackson's backseat look like a brand new car. And then all of the characters handling it. Like, Doc Holliday pops off with not a bad one, like a can in the microwave.
Yeah.
And then Waverly sort of slaps him. And then Dolls is just like goggles and suit, like slowly
with
cleaning an entire office.
Come with me. We need to talk about it.
But that head fucking exploded.
Yes, exploded. Mike, your moment of the week?
Mine is more emotional for what a fun episode this is. Hot, I think we often forget about in the goofiness of the ensemble, but her talking to a demon Winona, but it was obviously based on all real Winona, is you're mean when you drink before 10 a.m., and there's too many mornings where you drink before 10 a.m.
That was a rough line, dude.
That was really
it
good.
It hit me for like such a silly show. I went, oh, fuck. I think she is underrated on this show.
I agree.
Also, Winona's job is just to not get summed up. Like, I will always be doing crazy things, so you can't sum me up. And Hot's got her. Like, yeah. Hot knows what she's all about.
My moment of the week was when they're cutting off Winona's hand. And, like, Demon Winona's like, no, please don't. And Winona takes control for a second. And is like, hey, fucking cut my finger. Yeah. And it's just on board. She's like, just cut it off. I really love that moment. Winona Earp is on the Sci-Fi Channel or Space Channel if you're in other countries.
What?
Yeah. I think it's like Canada.
Yeah,
Space
Canada.
Channel.
It
takes
a Canadian
place
show.
In the West. Yeah. It's stupid to cut. That feels so limiting.
There's a West of Canada.
Yeah.
Why not just call
there's
it
also
the
a
genre channel?
There's also a West Texas.
What?
It's a town in Texas named West. Had a fertilizer plant that exploded. And it's on Sci-Fi Channel. That's all your shows for this week. Next week, we're going to be talking about Winona Earp. Mike, what
yes.
was this show brought to you by?
Yourpopfilter.com is where you can go to get all the things you love about us, all the news, slews, and reviews at yourpopfilter.com.
Ooh, Ryan, if people want to hit us up on social media, where might they go?
Well, Taylor, you have two opportunities. Ooh. Let me tell you about the first one first, and then I'm going to get to the second one after that.
Fantastic.
First thing you're going to do is go to facebook.com/yourpopfilter. Like us, follow us.
If you want.
Like us.
Like us there, and then you will get all of the news, slews, and reviews that we give out about pop culture. The other thing to do is follow us on Twitter. We are at yourpopfilter. You will get announcements about every single show and little bite-sized clippies about pop filter.
All the clippies.
Ooh,
about pop
culture.
I love me some clippies, especially the one that helps me make a ordered list. If you wanted to contact us in an email format, you could do that at contact@yourpopfilter.com. It's just like regular email, you idiot. And if you wanted to leave like a little voice message, you do that at 1562 Dr. DJ Pop. He's a little robot man who takes our voice messages for us because we built him to do so, and he has no choice in the matter. He will deliver that message to us. And like, if you decided that you were like, Winona Earp's a terrible show, you're wrong. But, you know, let us know that anyway. If you thought Fear the Walking Dead was much better than the shit we gave it, let us know, let him know. And then he'll let us know. Don't talk directly to us. We don't like that.
You took all of the cool technology that we have in the studio and made it sound like slavery.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, like, we whip him. He's
just
forced to do all this stuff.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
He would choose, if he was in a Pinocchio moment and became a real boy, he'd still choose to work here, right?
Yeah, I think he'd be our friend.
Oh, yeah, no.
He would think we're cool.
He wouldn't just shoot us with lasers immediately.
It's like fun slavery.
Wait, is that what happened in Pinocchio?
Spoiler
alerts, bro.
I think that's what happened in Short Circuit, which is my Pinocchio.
Mike, if people go to buy stuff online, where should they do that?
Look, you're going to do it. It's the modern era. Yourpopfilter.com/Amazon. Make that your new homepage. It does not change your buying experience, but it does help us out a lot. It gives us some, what do we call them? Ducats?
Ducats,
some
yeah.
doubloons? Throws them our way without changing anything for you. Please help us out. We need it so much. Yourpopfilter.com/Amazon.
Ooh, boy. boy. Ryan, if people wanted to listen to more podcasts, other places that weren't your Pop Filter, where can they like download those?
The best place to go is to Apple Podcasts, where you are now in the future getting subscribing to whatever podcast you want, and it gets launched directly into your phone whenever it comes out.
And that podcast is Superhero Hour Hour.
Superhero Hour Hour.
In case they listened and didn't know what it was.
And super and hero are two separate words if you're trying to search.
Because we were nervous we would get sued by Marvel and DC.
Pricks.
This is something they do.
Yeah.
Also, we are on Android phones now. So if you're a Google Play fan, search for us there and get it through that. That is Super Space Hero Space Our Space Our Space.
And I'm sorry that you have to use that shitty fucking interface because it makes no sense to me.
You know what? Fuck you.
Or if you're in America, not Canada, it's Super Sci-Fi Hero Sci-Fi Our Sci-Fi Our Sci-Fi.
Oh,
Mike, is there an episode of Writer's Block this week?
There is. Thank you so much. This week, I talked to Andrew Tonkovich, the editor of the San Monica Review and writer in his own right.
Right.
And it was really cool, and we get a little political because we recorded it last December, so the anger is alive and real, which I think is just as fitting today as it was when we recorded it.
Well, tune in for that. I'll be sure to. Next week on the show, we're talking about our main show, Wynonna Earp, again. It's going to be the best because everyone loves that show.
If this podcast has one fucking thing, it's going to convince people to watch Wynonna
Earp. Guys, fucking just watch Wynonna Earp.
Why aren't you watching it?
Why are you not watching it?
Enough people are now watching Preacher. Just move over. Let's start watching Wynonna Earp now.
If you've ever made an argument for like how Arrow is like a top-tier show, watch fucking Wynonna fucking Earp.
Watch it.
Look, I know you get home from work and it's a long day and you're like, what, should I watch The Office again? You've seen The Office so much, Pam's going to end up with Jim and it doesn't make any sense. It's not a good show. Just fucking watch Wynonna Earp.
If you are a regular listener to this show, then you are caught up on all the storylines. Go in for the one and done on this week's Wynonna Earp. Let's boost the ratings. Let's give it the superhero hour bump.
Let them know, because, I mean, we all know everyone listens to this show anyway.
Right.
So tune in next week. We'll talk about Wynonna Earp, and there will probably be more shushies to come.
Yes.
For Ryan, I'm Taylor. That's it. I'm not gonna do the rest of the...
Fuck Mike.
I'm not gonna do the rest of the bullshit.
Mike.
You know what? For Mike, you're Mike.
I mean,
I'm ending the bullshit that you guys do every week. You already got our introductions. Thanks for listening.